Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Bob Johnson is the sheriff in Santa Rosa County. He always joins us Monday at this time. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So we had a bookkeeper at the Holland Navarre Intermediate School who, what's the allegation here, took a little bit of money, did not belong to her.
Yeah, embezzled, I think it was around $15,000 over like a two-year period. Didn't think anybody had noticed, but, you know, even accountants have accountants watching them. And that's basically what happened. Then they called us once they found it, and we put her in jail.
You know, it may just be because these are the ones that we find out about, but I feel like it's been a lot of them lately, and it always seems to be the people you put in charge of the money, right? It's the, you know, the team manager or the, you know, the city manager or, the, in this case, the bookkeeper. And, like, I don't know. I guess that's the place that people who are willing to steal will go to find, you know, like, because, you know, hey, where can I go to sign my money? But it just seems like there's been a lot of these lately. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. And I think what it boils down to is they think they're so smart and they know all the ins and outs, but there's nobody that is embezzling money in a different way. I mean, it's all pretty much the same thing. It's a shell game. They'll move stuff to another account and think people won't notice. And, you know, it catches up with them every single time. You know, so I don't understand why people are still doing it. But hey.
My producer, John's over here. He's got an accounting degree. He's like, yeah, I mean, if you know how to read the papers, you can read the papers.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's no new way to do this. It's just all you just. And if you know how to read them, you know how to read them, and people cannot hide anything. You also had, now this is, I want to be really clear. Dinesha Blunt was a corrections officer, but at the state correctional facility, Santa Rosa CI, or was it Blackwater? You tell me, but she was not at the Santa Rosa jail, right?
Oh, well, she ended up there, but no, she was employed by the state Department of Corrections.
And what happened in this case? Why did she wind up in jail as a I guess now former CO?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The state has different procedures than us, so they may still have her on the payroll
until
you know, something else occurs, so court date or whatever.
Until the trial, sure. Okay.
Right. But it ended up being a child abuse, I think, and she got kids from somebody who went to jail, and she was taking care of the children and abused them in some way. And of course, we got called, DCF, and everybody got called, and she ended up in the Milton Hilton.
Hmm. Well, and it's always, to me, the cases with kids are just, you know, I still always think about the officers who respond and the stuff they see. And, you know, this is, I was thinking about this over the weekend because I'd seen a couple of these headlines of these really lurid cases, you know, people who do horrible things with their technology. And, you know, the sick thing to me, the doing of it is sick. But then law enforcement officers basically have to do the crime of watching these horrible things in order to prove that they were horrible. And like they're exposed to the things that are horrible to make, right?
Yeah. And we have a unit of four guys, and that's all they do, you know, 5 days a week, you know, probably 10 to 12 hours a day. And it takes a toll, especially out of the four, two of them have kids. So, and then you got to look at this crap, and it's unbelievable what one human being can do to another, and especially children. It's just, it's terrible.
I just don't know. I've told the story many times, but I had a really good friend when we were in Phoenix who was a Phoenix PD investigator, you know, detective on child crimes. And, you know, his kids got to be about six or seven, same age as our kids. And he's like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't do this anymore. And I don't know how anybody can do it. It's absurd. And you guys have a memorial and an employee barbecue coming up?
It's an employee banquet that we put on every year to just, you know, tell everybody how much we appreciate what they do all year long. We give out awards for life savings and then merit awards, unit awards, employee of the year awards, stuff like that.
That's cool.
And it's a great time. We feed them and have fellowship, and it's a good time.
Somebody got excited listening to me saying, oh, it's a barbecue this year. I'm sorry. It's my fault. I have such terrible handwriting. But you also have kind of the sad news, but it's an important part of what you do. You have your memorial coming up, but you're going to have to add somebody this year, right?
Yeah, so it's terrible when we have to put another name on the wall, but we are. We're adding Sergeant Dale Berrien is getting put on the wall. He died last year. He had a heart attack after helping a stranded motorist. And a lot of people don't understand that if you are a police officer and you have a heart attack while you're laying in bed sleeping and you die, they consider that a line of duty death in Florida because of all the stress and strain that you're put through in your career. I think 70 or 75% of retired cops have heart issues. Mm. So they passed a bill saying that if you're an active law enforcement officer and you pass from a heart-related incident, it's considered a line of duty death. So, and unfortunately, Sergeant Berrien passed last year. So we're adding his name to the wall.
Well, I just think, you know, like in football, you think of all these, you know, CTE, all this ongoing, these brain injuries that you suffer. I mean, you know, they get their heads knocked around and cops get their hearts knocked around. I mean, real bad all the time for all kind in all kinds of ways. Hang on for just a second. You're going to say something, but I just want to get traffic on the fives real quick. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110, all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Sorry, Bob. I was saying, you know, they get their hearts knocked around the same way the football players get their heads knocked around. You were going to say something.
Yeah, so the problem with law enforcement is, you know, people watch cops on TV and they think it's just one big adrenaline rush, and it's not. It's hours of boredom separated by moments of sheer terror, and you know, your heart goes from 60 beats a minute to 130 in like 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And you know, you do that over and over and over and just continually do it. And then, you know, I'm in year 44. A lot of people don't make 20. So, it's just, it really tears you up inside. And that's the reason why, you know, they passed that law.
Yeah. The car wasn't meant to be driven that way. You know, the engine was not meant to be driven that way. That's a real thing. And by the way, I love that you pointed it out, because this is something I noticed. I've only done a couple of ride-alongs, but the same exact observation is if you got an 8-hour shift, it's, you know, it's like 7 hours of sheer boredom.
Yes.
And then, oh my God, you know, and it's exactly but that boredom is, I mean, that's also one of the challenges of the job, is it's mind-numbingly boring most of the time.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, something else.
You know, in bigger cities, of course, like, you know, New York and Chicago, they're constantly going. So it's not, you know, and it sounds kind of weird, but they're not as bad off as somebody in Santa Rosa County, a cop in Santa Rosa County, because like I said, we're up, down, up, down.
Yeah.
They're just constantly up. So
at least that's a tempo you can kind of adapt to in some way.
Correct.
Or expect. Hey, last thing I was going to ask you, just because it had come up in Escambia County, Chip had put out, Sheriff Simmons had put out a video, and the basic message was, we had two cases where people who were otherwise not involved in the criminal activity, one was a murder, one was shootings, and they assisted either during or after the fact. And his point was, you know, if the best way to become a felon is to help a felon. If you help a felon, you become one, right? And people may not realize that.
Yeah, and you know, and people say, well, he's a relative or what? It doesn't matter. The law doesn't distinguish. If somebody shoots somebody and you know they shot somebody, and you take them from the scene or let them use your house or use your car, oh yeah, you just became a felon yourself. So yeah,
it's interesting to me that people don't know necessarily, but you know, all the cases, like, you know, it's not the hit that gets you in trouble; it's the run that gets you in trouble. Yeah. It's, you know, it's not the being the parent of a felon that gets you in trouble. It's helping them escape that gets you in trouble, you know? And so people know the law better than, I figure we can at least help them not be able to say, I didn't know, because I want them to know. Sheriff Simmons, just talking about Bob. Sheriff Bob Johnson, he is the Santa Rosa County Sheriff, always joins us on a Monday to talk about things going on in the county. Sheriff, as always, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, take care, Andrew.
You bet. 819 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you need a roof, or you're not sure if you need a roof, or you need a repair, or you're not sure if you need a repair, or how easy or difficult or complex or expensive, I mean, all good questions, but call Quality Roofing Solutions. Talk to the folks there. Brian Ward started this company 20 years ago. They've got 10,000 roofs that they've done in this area. 10,000. And a 4.9 rating on Google. Good grief. That is amazing. Unheard of. They do a lifetime workmanship warranty on their roofs, and they will talk with you like a normal person. They will not expect you to know everything. They will not make you feel stupid if you don't know everything. If you ask questions, they'll explain it, and you know they'll walk you through it. This is why maybe it makes sense to replace. This is why maybe it makes more sense just to repair. Hey, you know, repair makes sense now, but if you have to replace in 5 years, the cost is going to be this and such, and maybe it makes more sense to replace. I mean, I don't know. They'll walk you through all of that stuff, including the wind mitigation inspection report, depending on the kind of roof that you're doing, how that might be able to save you almost maybe even the price of the roof. I mean, they know that nobody wakes up in the morning excited to get a new roof, but hey, sometimes you have to. That's just the nature of owning a home. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids. Rolaids dual active formula has calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. Yeah, you heard right. Two actives for that powerful relief. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaids spells powerful relief. Read each label. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands.
Kicking back when the sun goes down.
This week, Southern Breeze blows into Pensacola Beach with their original blend of rock and country, acoustic, and southern rock hits at Bands on the Beach at the Gulfside Pavilion. Remember, no pets and no glass.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
We've analyzed their attack, sir, and there is a danger. Should I have your ship standing by?
Evacuate? In our moment of triumph? I think you overestimate their chances.
I'm gonna tell you a story.
Good morning, 8:22 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. By the way, just as a note, if you ever wonder what other things we do on the show aside from the, let's say, fairly normal 15 minutes that you commute in and you want to listen, you can catch all 4 hours. We have it all on the podcast page at newsradio923.com. John does a really good job of podcasting everything, and the interviews are podcast on their own. You know, so when we talk to the sheriff or the mayor or whatever, you can catch that. But also on the app, and I strongly recommend you get the app because the app is so easy to use. It's the News Radio Pensacola app. You may not know our call letters, WNRP, but that stands for News Radio Pensacola. It's very simple, but News Radio Pensacola app, great app. You can live listen. You can pause it, but you can catch all the stuff, and, you know, you can take me with you wherever you go. 8:23 on News Radio 92.3 in a non-creepy way. Yeah. David Wayne. No, I do have people that cracks me up. Dear friend of mine, as she always says, I shower with you every morning. I'm like, and she says it to my wife, you know? She's a dear friend. But it's always funny. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, we got all of this. What are you going to do? All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with with our headlines. David?
Well, the shutdown of Spirit Airlines impacting thousands of employees and travelers. The discount air carrier announced on Saturday they've canceled all flights and going out of business after failing to reach a deal for a government bailout. Spirit said in a statement that passengers who booked flights with credit cards or debit cards will automatically get refunds, and many airlines are making deals for Spirit customers that are now stranded across the nation. The rare but deadly Hantavirus is being blamed for multiple illnesses and a few deaths aboard a cruise ship in the Atlantic. Health officials said three people died and several others are sick, at least one with at least one case confirmed. The virus is spread by rodents and can cause severe respiratory illness and has a high fatality rate. There's currently no treatment or vaccine. And the man known as the voice of the New York Yankees has died. Veteran broadcaster John Sterling died at 87. His path to becoming a play-by-play legend began in 1989 when he started calling games for the Yankees.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 8:25, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're back to rolling accident-free, even delay-free. I'm not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So a couple of very interesting stories. You might have seen the one about the U.S. is going to remove 5,000 troops from Germany over the next 6 months to a year. That's about a seventh of our 36,000 troop presence there. We got about 80 to 100,000 across Europe. This is, if you ask me, this is part of President Trump's frustration with Europe, with NATO members, and, you know, dragging their feet on helping us or actively failing to help us like Spain did when it came to the war in Iran. Another very interesting, we haven't had a chance to talk about this at all today, but the Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Darrell Caudle, has now said that any of your amphibious warships, okay, like, you know, the McCool, okay, you know, your amphibious landing docks, your, gosh, I got to think of all the different terms for them, but these are warships that are designed to carry Marines and amphibious units into combat. They would also have, like, you know, used to be your Harriers, now your Osprey, all that kind of stuff. And these are now no longer able to be commanded by aviators. So, you know, in the Navy, and like many other military, you have different kind of occupational pathways. And so somebody who's a naval aviator, you know, an F-18 pilot, let's say, not that that's all of them, but let's say, or a helicopter pilot, it used to be that their path through command could eventually take them into commanding an amphibious warfare ship, an assault ship. And then eventually on towards, like, ultimately they would go to command a carrier or even a carrier group maybe. Well, Caudle has said that because of the problems with our amphibious warships, maintenance, operation, they're, you know, all kinds of readiness issues, the theory is that we're going to have surface warfare officers, SWOs. That means people who are not aviators, but people who are trained in running ships. Those are the people that are going to have to be in charge of the amphibious assault ships, transport docks, dock landing ships, that kind of stuff. And so anybody who is an aviator is going to have to go through a slightly different path. It's not that they can't eventually command the aircraft carrier. It's that they won't be able to get there by going through amphibious warship. And they're saying this is still, you know, it's still possible to get there. But it's an interesting choice. I don't know that I have a super strong read on it, because I get the argument. It seems to make sense that if you're going to, you know, if you're going to command a ship that has, you know, there's been issues in this area, that having people who are specifically trained and experienced on running ships would maybe make them better suited to handle that well. April 15th, Admiral Kirby had said that, you know, only 45% of amphibious ships are combat surge ready. Compared with 63% of surface ships and 65% of submarines. So we're trying to get that. The number should be higher for all of them, but we're trying to get it up for that one. So, you know, just kind of an interesting note, especially because we have so many aviators that are retired here or come through here. Obviously, all of them come through here for the Navy at some point in their training. I thought you might find that to be a fascinating story. And again, I'm not quite sure how I read it, if it's smart or if it's not, but it is what they are doing. Meanwhile, Flash Sprague has become the third PSC trustee, who is also going to be a UWF trustee once he gets confirmed by the Senate, assuming that he will. Flash has done all kinds of things. Could be like a NASCAR driver and just, I mean, all kinds of things. It's just weird. It's just weird that we now have three. Ed Fleming, who I think is great, smart, capable, certainly local attorney. We also have Zach Smith, who... let's just say that not those things. I'll just, you know, leave it at that. If you've heard me talk about the board, okay. And now Flash Sprague, Gordon Sprague is on, going to be on UWF and PSC. And I get the idea of having capable people. If there's capable people, you should have it on both. But we have enough capable people to have different people on both boards. And the crossover board member concept, to me, is a problem, because Number one, you should be really focused on your institution, your entity, and be a master of that. And I think being on two different boards can be kind of confusing. How do you keep straight? Who does which and all the different things? But also, they're not really competitors. They're kind of collaborators, but they're also kind of competitors. I mean, it'd be weird if, like, for example, Manny Diaz, who I think is doing a very good job, were to suddenly be proposed to take on the presidency of PSC too when Ed Meadows retires. Like, that'd be weird. Well, why would that be weird? Because it's too big of a job. Also, because it's two separate institutions. And I would rather see them just be separate boards. I think that'd be good for them, good for us, just generally good. Not that it's ideal to have it this way. No knock on, Flash, but just kind of who seems very, very capable. But generally speaking, let's kind of keep those things separate. Anyway, that's my take on that. What was I going to mention to you? Oh, Bands on the Beach is tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion. Stop by the Cat Country Tent and maybe win stuff.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Day one of the U.S. military operation Project Freedom in the Strait of Hormuz.
The president calls this a humanitarian mission in the Strait of Hormuz to try to get these ships out of the Persian Gulf. Here's what he wrote on Truth Social. For the good of Iran, the Middle East, and the United States, we have told these countries that we will guide their ships safely out of these restricted waterways so that they can freely and ably get on with their business.
Fox Doug Luzader, CENTCOM says Iran made up a claim that a U.S. Navy warship was struck by Iranian missiles. The FAA investigating why a United 767 from Venice to Newark clipped a light pole on the New Jersey Turnpike and put a wheel through the windshield of a tractor trailer, but landed safely. The trucker slightly injured. D.C. federal court hearing today on jail conditions for the California man charged with attempting to assassinate the president at the D.C. Hilton. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3, 58 degrees right now. We've got sunshine. We'll get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. One person has died following a house fire in Escambia County. Escambia Fire Rescue responding to the 400 block of Winthrop Avenue this morning just before 2 a.m. where they found a home with heavy flames. Fire crews pulled one adult from the burning structure. That victim was pronounced dead at the scene. Navy Fire assisted with response. The cause of that fire is still under investigation. Daily public visitor access has been restored at NAS Pensacola. Good news for folks that want to catch tomorrow's Blue Angels practice from the best seat in the house, the National Naval Aviation Museum flight line. The museum website now featuring a pop-up that says the base has returned to normal operations and welcoming visitors back. The Blues do have a practice scheduled Tuesday and Wednesday this week, with Wednesday also including an autograph session at the museum afterwards. Practices are also scheduled the 12th, 13th, and 27th this month. Visitors do have to enter through the West Gate on Blue Angel Parkway, and you'll need a valid real ID or passport to get on board. Escambia County Sheriff says the mother of a homicide suspect is now facing charges after allegedly helping her son flee the state after a murder in Cantonment. Officials say Sonia Cross McAdoo helped her son, 29-year-old Devon Cantrell Williamson, escape after a murder last April.
And she came to town from Montgomery, picked him up, took him across state lines, took him to Montgomery, and then ultimately he went from Montgomery to Houston and then to Phoenix, and then he was trying to get to El Paso.
Williamson's accused of shooting Tyshawn McDowell in the chest over a dispute involving $20,000 in sports betting debt. McDowell's body was found in Baldwin County in an area near Highway 112. Simmons says Cross McAdoo knew what her son had done and chose to help him flee. She's currently in jail in Montgomery County, Alabama. Now, the cause of an early April house fire that killed one person in Cantonment is still under investigation. The Florida State Fire Marshal's Office confirming on Friday that the investigation is ongoing into the April 6th fire on Arena Road. The adult victim was found inside a heavily involved brick home along with two deceased pets. No cause has been determined for that fire. Two teenagers were rescued in Alabama after a strong current pushed them offshore on a float Saturday. Baldwin County deputies deployed a newly acquired remote-controlled rescue device. It's called U-Safe, and they say that was able to reach the teens quickly without deputies even having to enter the water. Both teenagers were brought safely back to shore. Officials say the technology is a big step forward for beach safety. Well, Spirit Airlines ceasing all operations over the weekend, and that left thousands of passengers across the country stranded. Also put 17,000 employees out of work. The discount carrier canceled all of their upcoming flights and shut down customer service. And at the Pensacola airport, at least one traveler is still trying to get their luggage back from the locked Spirit office at the Pensacola International Airport. And they say nobody's been available to help. Chicago resident Liz Schwarting told Channel 3 that her boyfriend's clothing and guitar are locked inside the Spirit office. And she said the claims portal is no longer active and nobody had a key to get in. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says several U.S. carriers are capping fares for stranded passengers, but so far no official guidance on lost luggage claims. 8:35 at News Radio. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents or delays to let you know about. Everything is flowing smoothly on 98, I-10, I-110, 29, Highway 90. All look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at some lovely weather today, mostly clear skies as you head through that afternoon. Temperatures warming up near 79 degrees for your high and overnight dropping near 59 degrees. Heading into Tuesday, another lovely, mostly sunny sky day, high near 79 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Going into Wednesday, a few more clouds through the area, 30% chance of some stray sprinkles with a high near 83 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
We've got 58 degrees right now. Sunshine this morning. Your next news in 30 minutes. And your money now. Taking a look at our markets here at the opening bell. The Dow is down just under 0.5%, 49,291.56. S&P down 0.1%, 72,22.96. Now the NASDAQ is up about 0.1%, 25,133.97. Looking at your 10-year bond rate, it is up just a bit this morning, 4.41%. Gold prices are down $69 at $45.75.40. Silver is down $2.48 at $73.95. Looking at our oil prices today, West Texas Intermediate is up just under 1% at $102.76 a barrel. Brent crude is up $2.46 at $110.63 a barrel today. National fuel averages keep on rising. Escambia County, though, does have some of the cheapest gas in Florida. AAA's local fuel prices showing $3.95 a gallon in Escambia County, $4.01 in Santa Rosa County. The statewide average today across Florida at $4.33 and the national average at $4.45, and that's up about 30 cents from 1 week ago. And looking at our crypto prices today, looks like mostly up. Bitcoin's up 278.17, 79,036.32. Ethereum showing some gains as well. Dogecoin up. Solana is down a little bit. And taking a look at our financial stories today. President Trump scheduled to take part in a small business summit today at the White House as part of a National Small Business Week. The U.S. Small Business Administration says 36 million small businesses employ 45% of the nation's workforce. A statement from the White House in honor of the week notes that, quote, from the manufacturers of the industrial era to the technology startups of today, American businesses have served as the cornerstone of our prosperity and fortified the strongest workforce in the history of the world. The sudden collapse of Spirit Airlines impacting employees and travelers. Spirit announcing Saturday it's canceling all flights, going out of business after not reaching a deal for a government bailout. Other airlines, including American and Delta, are offering reduced fares and support for stranded Spirit customers. And GameStop reportedly wants to buy eBay, the video game retailer, making an unsolicited offer suggesting $125 a share for the online marketplace. Shares of eBay surged more than 13% in after-hours trading following that offer on Sunday. It's 8:39, your next news at 9, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
This is Pastor Carl Gallups of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not. Regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Hey, all the way. Hey, all the way.
The Pensacola Navy Days 4K, presented by Baptist Healthcare, is Saturday, May 9th. This fun run starts at Plaza de Luna, runs up Palafox along Bayfront to Veterans Park, and back to Plaza de Luna. Registrants receive a commemorative Pensacola Navy Days medal and race shirt. You can run or walk, and when you return to Plaza de Luna, you can celebrate with a beverage and stick around for the Family Fun Fest. Register now at PensacolaNavyDays.org. That's PensacolaNavyDays.org.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
You're already listening.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
So you might as well stay smart all day.
It's the Pensacola Morning News.
From Pensacola Morning News in the morning to Pep Talk with Meg in mid-morning, NVR late morning to afternoon, you do it from 2 to 4, and Pensacola right now of Chris and Austin through your drive home. News that moves with you all day long.
All day long.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Everybody was kung fu.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, it is Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. And sometimes when I have a show on Star Wars Day, we do a Star Wars-themed question for a frivolous topic. And I'm going to do one today. And I may have out-obscured myself on this one. So if that's the case, I apologize in advance. But I'm going to give it a shot anyway. Because this is a thinker, okay?
Oh, great. It's Monday.
Yeah, it's a Monday thinker. All right. You know, it's not the who's your favorite character.
Right.
Or, you know, what's got the, you know, best sound effect. What's the best weapon or, you know, spaceship? What?
Those are great questions.
I know. But we've done them to some degree or another before. And if I get zero texts, I may pivot quickly. but hear me out. Here's my question. What planet or location would you want to live on in the Star Wars universe? So think about the places that are available to live on. And which one would you want to live on in the Star Wars universe? 437-1620, 437-1620. I know if you haven't seen it, tough for you today. You know, look, you're out. You're on the outside looking in, and, you know, you're part of the uncool kids. That's David Wayne I'm talking about over here.
Yep.
But that's fine. So, John, 437-1620, what Star Wars location or planet would you, like, want to live on? Sounds good to you.
Tatooine.
Really? The desert?
Well, it's the only name I can think of except for Hoth. So it was either Hoth or that. So I was like, well, I don't want to be cold.
I could either live in the Sudan, or, sorry, in the Sahara, or Antarctica. I picked the Sahara, I guess. What are my other options?
That's awesome. All I could think of.
I could only think of two. No, but I get that because it's kind of a, you got to think through what are some of the possibilities here. But okay, all right. So You picked Tatooine because desert instead of Ice World.
Yeah, it was the which one?
I think, you know, between the two, okay, I'm with you.
I like those little guys, you know, that have the big giant brown thing that they scour parts. I mean,
the
small guys.
The sand people?
Yes, the small guys.
You're killing me.
There's nothing to see here.
I love it with their banthas. Okay, fine. All right, 4-3.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah,
move
sure.
on.
Yeah, try that on some weak-minded person. 437-1620, 437-1620. Where would you want to live in the world of Star Wars if you had an opportunity to live somewhere? Or I should say, if you had to live somewhere. All right, John Pickens has traffic on the fives before we get more of your answers that are perhaps more well familiar with the names. I'll just say it that way.
You didn't give me time to think about it. Okay.
All right, no, I sprung it on you.
Yeah, you did. Okay, so no accidents or delays to let you know about. Everything is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, 437-1620, 437-1620. The question is, where in the Star Wars universe, since it's Star Wars Day, may the 4th be with you, where would you want to live? I'll give you my answer later. I haven't given an answer just yet. Somebody says Coruscant, okay, capital, you know, lots of stuff going on. That's like a New York City world, okay, or like, what is it, Trantor in the Foundation series? I think it's kind of a pattern off that a little bit. Anyway, it's a giant city of all kinds of things happening. Somebody says, not Uranus, what? I don't even know what that is. It's not a planet in that world. Although it did happen in our, like, entire universe, right, because it is in a galaxy far, far away a long time ago. So it's not in our universe. It's not a fake place. I mean, Star Wars is all real places, theoretically. Okay, so let's see. Somebody says, I would love to live on Alderaan, but... Alderaan was Leia's home planet that got destroyed by the Death Star. So Alderaan sounds like a great place to live.
It does for a moment.
Until a certain time. Yeah, and then, it's not so good whatsoever. Somebody texted me and... looking for love in Alderaan places. Wow. Well done. Well, no, I don't even feel like you deserve the appropriate treatment from Jonathan Green for that.
Boo.
We'll just celebrate you. It's a good pun. I'll take it. Somebody says, in the Star Wars universe, I'd rather live on Earth, which is allowed. But back then, would you? I mean, it's a long time ago. So would you want to live on Earth like millions of years ago? It's a long time away. Wherever Princess Leia is where I want to be. Oh, that's not a bad answer. Naboo. All right. I like. You know, Naboo is probably the best one. Can I give you a thought on this? All of the planets don't look appealing. I mean, Hoth is Hoth, right? Ice. Ew. You know, Tatooine is Tatooine. Desert. Ew. You know, you don't want to live on the Death Star. You know, even before, that doesn't look pleasant. After is obviously not good. Alderaan, not so much anymore. You know, it doesn't seem like there's any great place to live. Naboo, I mean, they're either, you know, suppressed under a monarchy or they're living underwater. You know, I mean, it doesn't seem like a great set of options there. Oh, now this is one that is kind of interesting. What about on Endor with the Ewoks?
Oh, yeah.
Aww.
Those things are cute.
But you may recall that the Ewoks tried to eat them, tried to roast them for dinner. So
except for
the
C-3PO,
their god, their demigod. So, you know, I'm not sure that coexistence with the fuzzy little Ewoks is what you had in mind, because they may not be so coexisting with you. I don't know. Something to think about. Alderaan was pretty for a moment, but the Cloud of Bespin. Oh, the Cloud City. Oh, that'd be an interesting one. All right.
What planet was that on?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't know. It's a mining colony, so it's some kind of a, you know, worthless planet except for the resources.
Okay, that's why I didn't say it, because it was like...
Let's see. Somebody says, I don't know the name, but the Ewoks planet. Okay, that's Endor, right? Dathomir. I don't know where that is. I'm sorry. You out Star Wars, even me on that one. Obviously, the Death Star, you know, would be a great place to live, but they keep remodeling, so the traffic's probably terrible.
Yeah, it's probably terrible.
Just take C-3P with you to Endor and everything will be fine. I like that answer. Not a lot. What about Dagobah? The swamp planet where, Yoda
ain't
is from?
Live in no swamp.
Exactly. See, that was my thought, is the more I started thinking about this question, the more I thought, there's no good answers. All of these planets are terrible. You know, Geonosis is terrible, and, you know, Scarif is terrible, and, like, there's no Kamino with the clones. I mean, there's no place that you're, like, the marketing is not drawing me there. And so I think here's my answer. You ready, my answer? I would rather live on, like, the Millennium Falcon and fly through space and go visit a bunch of places.
But that wasn't a choice.
Look.
Oh, my goodness.
Look, if the Kobayashi
Maru... I would have said that if I could.
This is going to give somebody an aneurysm. If the Kobayashi Maru scenario is unwinnable, then you just rewrite the rules. And that's how you solve that. So if the Star Wars hypothetical is unwinnable, you just rewrite the rules and say, well, I would just rather live with... You're telling me you wouldn't want to be on the Millennium Falcon, be a you know...
I would, but the question was planet.
A smuggler with Han and Chewie.
The question was planet. Let me rephrase that again.
So I gave you a better answer than the question allowed. You're just jealous you didn't think of it.
Oh, no, I thought of it, but I was like, well, that's not what he's asking for.
Now you thought of it. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, registered advisors.
The 5-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't go. I got guns in my head and they won't go. Spirits in my head and they won't.
Good morning, 8:52 here on News Radio 92.3. May the 4th be with you. It is Star Wars Day. And actually, that was a lot more engaging than I thought. I was worried. I was so worried.
No, you violated the rules. You could have said planet, ship.
You're still hung up on that?
You cheated. You should have heard it during the break.
Hey,
I was letting him know.
This is me learning from Kirk how to win a contest in Star Wars. That's what I did right there. All right. Interesting. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this, but we have a California election that I know you might not think too much about because that's California, right? What does that have to do with me? Okay. But because of their primary system, which is a jungle primary is what they call it. That means everybody, Democrat and Republican, are all thrown into the primary. And then the two top vote getters out of the primary advance into the general election. There is a possibility, and I don't want to get your hopes up for this, but there is a possibility because you have two fairly decent Republican candidates, and then you have a bunch of Democrat candidates. And the problem is that the Democrats might split the vote between the Democrats so much that the Republicans get the top two places. Like, if you think, I know, what is Republicanism in California? It's maybe 40%. I mean, I'm guessing. I haven't looked at the numbers, but just to give you a math example. Okay, so if you have 40% split two ways, that's 20% each, right? And if the Democrats are, you know, 60%, but you have six of them, they only pull 10% each on average, right? So two 20s beat six 10s, right? So the two Republicans could advance to the general. And because of a bunch of Democrats splitting the vote, you might actually get a Republican governor unintentionally. It's one of the reasons that I would argue for the instant runoff voting, but that's a whole nother conversation. It's a very interesting problem for them to have, and, you know, we'll see. By the way, you know who gets talked about a lot? I have not been paying a lot of attention to this. I'm so focused on, you know, Pensacola and Florida. But one of the things I didn't even realize this is people were really kind of upset that Kamala Harris didn't run for governor. The theory was, here's somebody who almost became president. Here's somebody who's been a senator, been an attorney general, who's very popular in her state. God love him. and people think she's very capable. God love him. And that they would elect her. And so the idea is that she, by staying out of it, has left open this possibility. And, you know, it's her refusal to just be the governor of California because she'd rather have some kind of a prominence on the national stage. I don't know. Whatever. We'll see. 8:55, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that every Florida West project is evaluated on jobs created, wages paid, and generates a positive return on investment to Escambia County taxpayers? Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. I'm not even seeing anything that's going to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, congratulations to Captain Matt Coverdale. I guess he's now Deputy Chief Matt Coverdale. I've known Matt for a long time. Really capable guy. Young, okay? But Pensacola Police Chief we've had all these Erics. Eric Goss, Eric Randall, now Eric Winstrom. And so once you get saying Eric, and, you know, it's supposed to come up with a different name after that. But Eric Winstrom, according to the PNJ, has named him to be his Deputy Chief. So, and, you know, comments about it. I mean, you can't go wrong picking Matt as your deputy chief. And I don't know exactly what that means for Eric, but, you know, we'll see, I suppose. You know, I don't think he's quite due for retirement just yet, but maybe so. I don't know what he's going to do. I haven't talked to him. But he was hired on in 2004. He has been in the PPD for 22 years. If you ever meet Matt Coverdale, like, you will not think he's that old. There is no way you would expect him to be old enough to be, you know, 22 years on the force. That's crazy. Anyway, he's been uniform. He's been an FTO, a field training officer. Investigations, vice, narcotics, community-oriented policing, SWAT. He was a SWAT team commander before he got promoted out of that. That's cool. Bronze Star, Silver Star, unit citation. Chief Winstrom says, as I've been here 2 months, I've noticed Matt is really putting 100%, 10% effort into making sure that not only does the police department function well, but is headed in a direction that it's going to improve and progress for not only the community and the city, but also make it a better police department for the men and women who work there. That's going to be key to retention, key to recruiting, key to making sure we have the best police officers, which I think we already do, but we're going to make sure that continues and that we get even better. Yeah, so congratulations, Matt Coverdale. Great guy, really good guy. The Pensacola Tallahassee Catholic Diocese has opened their tiny homes. 9 of them is this most recent development, so they've had more than 70 applicants, so already way over the possibility. 9 single-occupant homes, 300 square feet, each one with kitchen, bathroom, living space, $500 of rent a month, and then utilities are going to be included. I like the tiny homes. They're, by the way, we have relatives who were thinking about building them in North Carolina, building one. Oh, my God. Like $200,000, $250,000 to build a tiny home?
What?
I do not understand how that can be true.
How?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It seems insane. But even some of the numbers I have heard of in like the $100,000 vicinity for it, it just seems crazy to me. But then again, like, look at the bathroom thing. Building a bathroom for the Roger Scott, you know, $700,000, $800,000, like crazy. Oh, sort of on that note, but we were biking this last weekend over in Valparaiso. And John, are you familiar with Valparaiso at all?
Yes.
Okay. If you had to describe Valparaiso in a word, well, if you drive through Valparaiso, like you drive through the main street, it seems like an ad for you to not want to live there. Right? I mean, it just doesn't look great, okay? But you know what we discovered? If you get off the main path, there's a lot of really nice areas there, including they have a massive number of parks. I was more parks than here in Pensacola. And nicer in a lot of ways and a lot of waterfront, but like tons of waterfront. There's a whole park that's like the Navy Point Park. It's amazing. But the thing that I notice is they all have bathrooms and not like a porta potty, like running faucet, toilet, bathrooms, you know, like at all of their parks. They have, I thought that was interesting.
Interesting.
Something you don't see very often. So, you know, my ad for Valparaiso, if you just don't drive on, just live right by the main area, you know, live off it a little bit. I was pretty surprised by that. So anyway, God, the price for these tiny homes seems ridiculous. And a lot of times you have to either buy land or you have to pay lot rent or, I don't know. I like the idea. I think as an alternative it makes sense.
And but it's much as a house.
If it's cheaper, yeah, I'm with you. If it's that expensive, then no. You just get a house.
Might as well get 1,500 foot.
And I like the idea of little subdivisions, you know, tiny houses and tiny subdivisions. I think it makes sense. I think some people would rather live that way, close to your neighbors. Although I have seen ones where it's like a tiny house on 2/3 of an acre, and I do not understand. Seems like you expanded the land and you shrunk the house. And I don't understand why you do it that way, but there you go. All right, Meg is next with Pep Talk. Stick around. We'll see you tomorrow.